The music has been a blessing, and you know the old saying goes, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Most Sundays it's just me singing over Aaliyah playing the piano, and that's what we got. That's what we got. We got a couple members, and they sing out best they can. But whenever I'm in a full church service where I can hear everybody singing out, and I can sing a little bit louder so it doesn't sound as awkward when I'm screaming at the faces of my church members, when I can sing out a little bit, it's just such a blessing to my heart. Every time we get to visit my church on the south side, my home church on the south side, I get to sing it out, and they make fun of me because I'm the loudest one in the room. And I said, hey, I'm a church planner. I can do that. So, but the music has been incredible. Just hearing, I haven't heard guitar played in a church service in a long time. And so it was just good to have Pastor and Travis earlier, and then Travis and Kelsey this morning. That was awesome. And just so thankful to be here. If I get too focused on how thankful I am to be here, I'm going to start weeping before I get to the message. And I promised you that it was going to be good tonight, so I want to make sure that I keep to that. So before I get going, Pastor asked me to give a little bit more of a detailed, breakdown and update of where we're at. So when we first went there, we started on Wednesday nights as a Bible study, and we met on Wednesday night Bible studies. And for a whole year, we talked about this morning. Nobody showed up. Now, we had a few people visit here and there from my home church and were with us, and it was encouraging to have people there, but we went a whole year, and then after that year was when Dennis and Christina started coming. That was right when we decided to start on Sunday morning, so it was kind of a shot in the arm of, hey, you're going in the right direction, you're starting on Sunday mornings, here's your first visitors and members. And so right after that, about 6 months later, Brother Mike found us. He was leaving a church that had veered off a little bit on their doctrine and such, and so he just wanted to find a church where he could plug in. He's an old graduate of Hammond Baptist, and he knows how to preach. And so even this morning, I got a report that he preached this morning, and he was able to preach for me and fill the pulpit for me while I was gone. I'm very thankful for him. To give you an idea of just our area real fast, just to give you a little bit, if you take a pin and put it in the middle of Wheeling and draw a 10-mile radius circle around Wheeling, 680,000 people fit in that circle. 680,000 people. And best I can figure, there's three churches like-minded to what we would call in that 680,000 people. Three good churches for all those people. There's a lot of mega churches. There's a lot of other things. And the more we door knock, the more we see that there's a lot of people that are saying, well, I'm in this mega church, but I really don't feel like I get anything out of it. And that's pretty much the norm for whenever we get to actually talk to people about them going to church. They say that they want good teaching, but they also want the programs. And we can't give that to them yet because we're not at that strength yet. And so over the time that we've been there, we've seen about 20 visitors. And out of those 20, three have stuck. So we're praying. We've got one lady who's on and off. Her name is Miss Carlene. I don't know how she does it. And we haven't seen her in a good eight to 10 months now. But I don't know how she does it. But she holds down two full-time nursing positions. That doesn't make sense to me because we know how crazy nurses' hours are. But we haven't seen her in a while. We're praying that she comes back. I've sent a couple emails and texts and such and haven't heard back from her in a while. But occasionally she'll just pop in just randomly. And so we're praying we'll see her again. But talked a little bit this morning about some of the difficulties we've had. We moved in anticipating that it was 98% white, 2% Asian, and the rest was just kind of a mix, like just a little bit of a melting pot from there. But that wasn't the case. We had 50% Hispanic. And then after about a year, the Ukrainian refugees moved in. Every time we had someone in our apartment complex move out, a Ukrainian family, a Russian family, or a Serbian family moved in. We actually found out last week when we were doing some more research on our area and things, we were looking at Russian refugees that had come over and Russian people that had moved over, and we found out a guy we talk to all the time who lives in an apartment right across from us. He fled conscription from the Russian army, made it to the news that his family was seeking asylum. He found it in Chicagoland, and there he is. He lives in the apartment right across from us. We talk to him all the time. And so there's just a different shift in attitude, and you know, the European mindset is a little more harsh, a little more cold shoulder, and so having to break through that is just, it's difficult. It takes time. But Our prospect list, man, if our prospect list, if every single one of them come, we'd be running 50. We got so many people on our prospect list. I have about 6 to 10 people that I talk with on a regular basis at Menards. And the biggest mission field that I have personally in the mornings from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. is Menards. And it's just incredible what the Lord has done there. Is I walked in and I told them when I was in the hiring process, I said, hey, look, I'm a pastor of a small church, and I'm just going to be frank with you. If you can't deal with my schedule, then I can't work here. I'm just going to say it plain and simple. If you can't deal with it, I'm going to have to be gone to travel to other churches and present and build up my own support. But this won't pay the bills. It's just going to help. So if it ever tries to take too much, I'm gone. And they said, we can respect that. And they have. They've been good to their word, and I've been able to have a super flexible schedule. Like even this, I didn't have to take PTO or any kind of vacation or anything to come here. They just gave it off. And so it's just a blessing that I haven't been fired yet. So so it's been incredible. But the people that I get to talk to on a daily basis find it fascinating that I'm a church planner. And find it fascinating that I'm a full-time pastor and yet I'm working 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. at a Menards. It just doesn't register to them. And they say, well, don't people pay your bills or something? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? I said, it doesn't always work that way. And I'm thankful for my time at Bellevue Baptist Church in Washington, where I had to work a full-time job and be on staff because that prepared me. And then the time that I had here that trained me for that. And yet, I'm able to do that. I'm also able to have kind of a part-time position at our apartment complex over the summertime where they literally let me sit and do my sermon work. That's pretty much what I do. I oversee and make sure the people coming in to our area there at the pool are part of our apartment complex, and I get to do my sermon work all day and get paid to do it. And so it's fantastic, one of those things that the Lord just put in my lap. But many of the people that I work with are searching. We have an older lady who's Filipino lady, and she works with us. And unfortunately, last year, her husband was battling for a long time with some sickness issues, and he died. And she was very soft and very tender, and I came up to her, and I just had a track and a few dollars, and it was what I had in my pocket. And I said, Crescentia, I just want you to know that there's a church in our area that's praying for you. I know you're hurting a lot, and we're praying for you. And ever since then, what has been really interesting is she started talking to me a lot more about God, a lot more about what she believes. And she's out there just a little bit. She's been affected by a bunch of different religions, and it's kind of melting into one. But we've been able to talk to her lately because of her own volition. She picked up a Bible and started reading. And she comes to me regularly with questions about what's going on in the Old Testament because, in her words, man, that book is messed up. And she said, I don't understand why God doesn't just wipe them off the earth. I said, I know, me too. That's how I feel. And so it's just very unique to be able to have a ministry to these people. Again, the Jehovah's Witness that I witness to on a daily, weekly basis. He doesn't believe half of what the Jehovah's Witness believe, but he's still there out of a duty and out of responsibility in his mind because he feels like he was saved there, like he met God there is what he says. And so I'm just pushing on him and pushing on him and praying that he'll come to our church once and see that we're exactly what he believes and exactly what he's looking for. And so we keep praying for him. I have another coworker who's a Catholic, and his name is Jorge, and he's probably my best friend at work. He loves God. He's one of those that if it wasn't for a few little things that he says about priests, that I'd think he was saved. He loves the Lord, and he loves talking to me about everything that's going on with our church. He's probably one of our most faithful people that ask questions about our church, is my coworker there, and I'm just praying that him and his family come to know him. His whole family loves us, and they say they're praying for us often, and so We just do what we can there. And then we've got so many couples, and I could go on and on about the couples, but one I want to ask you to pray for that's one of our biggest prospects is Marissa and Sam. Now, they're such a unique story in that we were unloading our moving truck and coming in our patio doors and bringing all of our stuff in the doors, and Grayson was just on the porch with a couple toys. And this little boy comes running past, and he stops. He turns and looks at Grayson's monster truck, and he runs over and just starts playing with him. So I introduced myself to his mom, Marissa, And from day one, I mean, literally the first day we moved in, we met this woman, and the church people that were there helping me, and I talked to her, and I gave her why we were there, that we were a pastor, and we were moving there to start a church. And when she walked away and finished, the church member from Sauk Trail said, "There's your mission field right there, day one." And so here we are two and a half years later, and we're still witnessing to them. He's the one that says, "I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe, and we'll leave it at that." And so he just kind of wants to keep away from it a little bit, but he'll let her come to our church. And if they lived where we're situated, they would be there every Sunday. She would be there every Sunday with Ryder, but she wants me, though she doesn't fully believe yet, she wants me to talk to Ryder about God and about salvation all the time. She's like, "Can you just hang out with him and tell him more about God?" And it's just it's so interesting because she's holding off a little bit, and I think it's her husband a little bit, but she wants him to know about God, about Jesus, and about what he did on the cross. And so it's awesome. It's a challenge. It's one of those things. He wants to go golfing with me, and he wants to talk Star Wars because he's a nerd like I am. But we're trying, and we're working, and it's one of those things that it's a grind. It's one of those things I learned here from Pastor Foster. Sometimes your prospect list doesn't get smaller. It doesn't for a long time, and then eventually you see one, you see two, you see a couple, and then you just start to see the trickle effect of having witnessed to these people for ages. And so just pray for us on that. We were looking to get into another space because where we're at in the community center is in upstairs in the middle of the building. If you know, as far as exposure, that's not a good place to be. And on top of that, I was sharing with Brother Ben this morning, we can't put up any signs telling people where we're at. There is a small little banner that sometimes isn't even there because they forget to put us on there, but there's a small little banner on one screen in the lobby that says North Point Baptist Church, and that's what we get. We can't put A-frame signs out front. We can't put banners in the hallways, nothing. We have to stay in our room. So it's presented a challenge. And so we wanted to look for another space. And what we found was when we started looking into storefronts, because that's what I was used to from Bellevue Baptist Church in Washington, they said, "We want the sales tax. We're not going to allow you to do that." So that shut that door. And so basically we've been searching ever since for anything that they would let us to rent, really, other than the community center. But the Lord has led us to this bigger space within the community center that we're hoping will be a blessing and give us a little bit more exposure. But we're doing everything we can through these activities, through door knocking, through just being out. As simple as I take the boys walking around Lake Arlington's right by our house, five minute bike ride from our house. We go there, we walk around the loop, and we hand out tracts just to people out walking. Of course, you can't do that when it's 40 below zero, but we're doing it now that it's getting warmer out. And so just thankful for what the Lord has done. What he has done is he's taken Dennis and Christina, who are honestly baby Christians, and they were messed up with some YouTube preachers, and slowly over time has developed them into our right-hand couple there, and just has become so faithful, so willing to do whatever we ask them to do. For example, they just honestly, from their hearts, believe that certain sinners we have to hate. We have to do it. They got messed up on YouTube on some of that. We have to hate them. And so one Wednesday night, I was going through, and I was like, "Man, I just really feel led. I need to do this." And so I said, "Have you ever heard of the portion where Jesus says, if you hate someone in your heart, you've committed murder?" She goes, "That sounds a little extreme." And I said, "Jesus said it. Do you believe the Bible?" And she just kind of was shocked and looked at me funny. I said, "And he said, if you lust after someone in your heart, you've committed adultery." And she goes, "Where did that come from?" I said, "It's right here." Opened the Bible, showed it to her, and she's began to soften towards people, and she's began to develop in that, and we have developed a culture now where we tell them, "Hey, if anyone walks in those doors, I don't care what they look like, what it is, we're showing them the love of God when they walk in those doors." And it's been incredible to just see the transformation and the attitude change and everything there. So with that update, and with just asking you again to pray for those two activities, the Back to School Bash and the Schools Out Build-Off that we're having coming up, pray for those. Those are our big outreaches. We're also looking into starting through Aaliyah and Christina. We're going to get them in ESL classes, English as a Second Language classes, and it's a need. Our neighbors, just to the left of us, She can't even say the word diaper in English. She can't say anything in English. It's very difficult to communicate. And it is a very great need in our area for English as a second language. The few people that we've reached out to have asked Aaliyah, can you teach us English? Just people that we know that we meet in our apartment complex. And it's incredible the need there. And so we're trying to start that up, get them some certification with the state, and see if we can offer free ESL classes. And of course, one of the resources we're going to use is the Bible, so that they can learn the Bible through that and hear about Jesus as we do that. So just pray for all those activities, and we'll give a little more of an update of what has happened as we get into the message tonight. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I don't want to take too much time. I don't want to ramble. I could talk for hours about what's going on, but I don't want to ramble too much, and I want to get to the fun part that I told you about. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 24, and I've got to be honest, and I'm going to commit something that is one of those things that is an unwritten no-no amongst preachers. I've got to be honest. I've preached this before here. I've got to be honest. I've preached this exact passage here before. But I'll be honest, I didn't understand it when I did. I didn't understand it to the extent that I do now. And I believe the Lord has laid it on my heart to preach about the practicality of faith promise. Where exactly your dollars go to and what it helps to do, and I believe that we can find it some here in Matthew chapter 6. So starting in verse number 24, Matthew 6 verse 24, the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So we'll preach this message tonight, the practicality of faith promise. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word and for what this passage means to me, Lord. And I pray for these wonderful people, Lord, that you would just touch their hearts tonight and impress upon them just the practicality of Faith Promise Missions and just what their dollars go to. I pray, Lord, that you just guide and direct us as we go through your word tonight. Help me to speak clearly and help me to communicate clearly the truth that I believe you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So he starts off in verse 24 that you can't serve two masters. And for sake of time and just for everything, I'm going to summarize a lot of these verses because I think they're familiar to most of us. I think they're verses that most of us know, and yet we'll still go over them in general. So he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't live in both worlds. You can't. And that's a lot of what we're dealing with. We have a young lady, Paige, who comes to us regularly, and she is in constant anxiety. She lived in our apartment complex. She came a couple times to the Bible study, but she is constantly torn because she's got one foot in the world, and she's got one foot in wanting to follow God. She talks about God all the time when she's around us, but you can tell she'll be talking, and she'll slip, and she'll say something that she knows isn't right, and she looks at us with eyes almost of fear. And there have been a couple times where she's like, I'm just so anxious, I don't know what. And I said, well, I know what the problem is. You got to be in church faithfully. And once she makes that commitment, I have no doubt that she's going to be on fire for the Lord and in there. But she is straddling the line between both living in the world but living for God. And she fights daily and it's ripping her apart. You want to talk about anxiety? Live with a foot in the world and a foot in Christianity and you'll have anxiety like crazy because it doesn't work. It does not work. And so she's pulled back and forth. The easy application here is you can't straddle the line between both worlds. The old quote from an old preacher is, it's much nicer on God's side of the fence. Plus, straddling the fence is no fun. It hurts. It's painful. It's not fun. And so he makes this point and he continues on. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat. Or what ye shall drink, nor for, yet for your body what ye shall put on. Isn't your life more than what you eat and what you put on? Don't worry about the nicest things and about your needs being supplied, because your life is more than just what you can eat and what you wear. This flies in the face of some pastors. I've met some pastors out there in our area and everything, and they're dressed to the nines. I mean, they're part of the... Not even kidding, one of the pastors I met is one of the pastors that were part of that old Instagram account, Preachers in Sneakers, where they have the most expensive sneakers and they wear them up to preach. And it's ridiculous, but they're dressed to the nines, they've got Gucci on, they've got all this stuff, and then they still stand in the pulpit and say they need more money. It just dumbfounds me. It really does. And yet what God says is, he says, I'm going to provide for you. But it's not for you to lust after or to desire to have the absolute nicest thing to wear or to eat in excess or over and in abundance. Don't worry about the nicest things and things such as that, because life is more than just what we eat and wear. We talked about it a little bit this morning. It's about spreading the gospel. It's about getting the gospel to people. As for the food aspect of it, we won't talk too much about that, because whenever I come here, I eat an unhealthy amount, and it's bad for me. It really is. It happens every time we come here. I eat way too much. It borders on gluttonous. It really does. But life really is more than just what you eat and wear. It is. There's a lot more that happens in between, and Jesus is trying to get people to focus on that. There's a lot more to life than that stuff. And so to make the illustration, he says, behold the fowls of the air. Have you ever thought of the birds? They don't work a 9-to-5. They don't sit there and toil away, and, you know, they don't even sit there with a shovel and dig until they find the worms. The Lord just supplies the worms in his own way, through the rain cycle, through everything else. They get their food. God feeds those birds every single day. Don't you think he's going to feed you? Don't you think he's going to feed you? Aren't you much better than they? And of course, the verse comes to mind, Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Don't you think if the birds are fed, he's going to feed us? He sees each sparrow that falls, and don't you think he sees you? Which of you, he says in verse 27, can add one cubit unto his stature? I mean, it would be great if we could do that. I'd be much taller than I am now, but if we could just think it into existence, will it into existence, wouldn't that be great? And he says, can any of you do that? The answer is, of course not. You can't just will it into existence. God knows exactly how tall you are, and you were born that way for a reason. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You look at creation, and it's just gorgeous. Amen. One of my favorite things that Aaliyah and I have done since we have been married is for our 5-year anniversary, we got to go to Hawaii. Man, if I ever go missing, I'll be in Hawaii. I love the ocean. I love the... We went to the Waimea Canyon, which is the Grand Canyon of the Pacific, is what they call it, the Grand Canyon out there, except for instead of it being the Grand Canyon not as much vegetation, it's lush and green and beautiful. And we went there twice, and they say every single day there's about like 30 to 40 rainbows. because it's just it's tropic, it's wet, and it's just beautiful to look out over this giant, vast creation that God has given us, and you think, you know what? If God provides for all that nature and clothes it in all that beauty, doesn't He care much more about us? Amen. He's placed us here for a reason. Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? If it is the case that birds eat having not worked a 9-to-5, and it is the case that the grass and flowers are clothed so beautifully, how dare we think that God wouldn't provide for us, His children, who follow after Him, His precious children? The audacity of us to have so little faith sometimes to think that He wouldn't provide for us when we need it. The audacity to have so little faith when most times it's not that we aren't getting what we need, it's that we're not getting what we want. Therefore, He says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal we shall we be clothed? This isn't to say to throw caution to the wind and never work. God hasn't called us to not work. This isn't to say that just, you know, throw your hands up and let God provide everything and just be a lazy bum. That's not what God says. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's just saying, you know, you may be going through a time of leanness in your life, but God's right there watching. He knows. And He's supplying for your every need. And no, he's not saying that we need to just do that. He's saying, don't be consumed by that. Don't be obsessed with physical things, such as what we can wear or the toys that we could get or anything else like that. Don't be obsessed with all that stuff. I don't even know if I can keep up with the trends, to be honest. I've had the same set of clothes since high school, pretty much. I don't work much to keep up with that. Aaliyah describes my wardrobe as classic, and I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment, but I'll take it. So I just have the same. I never really change much. It's not something that appeals to me that much. But being overly obsessed with clothing and food. And He finishes in this area by saying, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we put that out of our minds a little bit. We don't think about that as much when we think about how God provides for us. Sometimes we don't think about it. When things start to get tough, we tend to, I know my tendency is to put my head down and just grind it out, just get it done. That's the mentality that my dad taught me when I lived in Washington and I didn't have a car. It's a joke that the people in Washington still have with me is literally from pastor's house to the job that I had, it was uphill both ways. On a bike, in the rain, in Washington. And so he's like, you can literally tell your kid, I drove to work uphill both ways and all that stuff. But our tendency when things get tough is to just grind it out sometimes and forget that God says, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I'm not giving you anything new out of these verses. I think everybody in here knows this. We know these things. We know that God provides. We know God supplies all our needs. We may take it for granted at times, but we know generally that all things come from God. It's amazing just the teaching that Aaliyah has been able to do with our boys and that we've been able to teach them. As Weston calls our minivan, God's minivan, because He knows. And we taught him that he knows that it came from God. It was nothing that we did to get the deal that we got on our little minivan this past August. And he says, that's God's minivan. And these are God's shoes. And he says, God's tie. And he goes down the list of everything. And I love it. I love it. We know that God supplies our needs. He feeds us. He clothes us. He gives the increase. He keeps us healthy. But sometimes it's kind of hard to remember when the cupboard's a little bare, isn't it? When the fridge is empty, when the bank account gets a little bit lower than we like it to be. When it feels sometimes as if you're barely scraping by, it's kind of hard to know. I have preached this before, and yet I greatly fear I didn't quite understand it adequately enough until I went into the ministry full-time as a church planner. And I'm not up here as a woe is me sermon or anything like that, but I want to share what God has done over the first 3 years that we've been there in Wheeling, Illinois. This is where the fun part comes that I promised. We had a tough patch right around the 1 to 2 year mark, and money was very tight. Rent jumped $300 a month to leaping over to $2,000 a month for a two-bedroom apartment. And it began to squeeze a little bit, and then right around that time was when inflation started to spike really difficult, and it was tough to even put eggs in the fridge. And those two boys that are out there in the lobby, they can pound eggs. And so it was getting difficult. It was getting hard. It was getting tough, and it got tighter, and we had great support from my home church. I mean, they paid me as if I was still on staff to be well across town, an hour away, and do what I did up there. I'm so thankful for that. But even with $5,000 a month from my home church, it was tight. And it was increasingly tighter every day. And the little bit of debt that we had accumulated and moving expenses and different things like that, just that happened in general, it just felt like everything just started to pile. And we were just starting to get into a little bit of a tightness. I knew where we were, and I knew that God had us where we were supposed to be because the Lord was blessing. He's greatly blessing. And sometimes it can be hard to understand and apply in times like that this passage where you know that God supplies and you know that it happens. One of the hardest times that I can think about, but was when it got really difficult, was we had $200 left in our bank account. I get paid at the beginning of every month, and it was the 17th. I had $200 left. I've got two boys that are pounding, and at the time, Aaliyah was just about to be, she was just found out that we were pregnant with Elodie. It's tight. 17th, we got a lot of days left in the month to have only $200 to our name. It's getting difficult. You know, you really can't tell sometimes in those times if God's going to bless or not, and we weren't being frivolous. We were just buying groceries. It's just the practicality of where we were at. So I prayed for eggs. I prayed for meat. We'd raid the clearance section of the meat counter at Jewel Osco, which is Kroger by us. We'd raid all those sections. We'd get milk. We'd pray for milk. We'd pray for our finances to just level out a little bit. And this is where the Lord started to supply. We found a group on Facebook that's called the Buy Nothing. I don't know if they have them out here or not, but what it is a bunch of people in the community get together, and when they run out of use for something, instead of throwing it away, they say, hey, I don't know if anyone wants this. If not, I'll give it to Goodwill, but they'll put it up. So we'd take everything we could get off of that thing. If it was extra groceries at times, people would put it up there. We got our bed that is a $3,000 bed frame that someone was just giving away. And they decided, and it kind of is almost like you put your name in and they decide who gets it. You don't know if you're going to get it or not. But the Lord provided a beautiful queen bed frame for my wife and I during that time. I got a brand new grill. I wanted a grill badly, but we couldn't afford it. And the Lord provided a full 6-burner grill for me on this Buy Nothing. It just all sorts of little things. But when it got really tight and we needed some groceries, that lady Paige I told you about, there was a few times that she just dropped by and said, I don't understand why, but I need to give you guys these groceries. And just a ton of groceries from Trader Joe's she had left over in her freezer. Just dropped them off with us. Another lady that we've met that she had just moved over from Kyrgyzstan. Didn't speak very good English. She spoke English enough to communicate, Kate, but very little. She attached to us very quickly. Our kids play together all the time. She had random times where she's like, hey, I made a cake. I just want to give it to you guys. Hey, I've got extra fruit. I want to give it to you guys. That's nothing that I'm doing. That's what God's doing for us. It's just the way that God was providing for us. During that time, right after we got there, Sauk Trail started as a community outreach. They hosted a food drive. And what the food bank would do is they'd use Sauk Trail's property. Sauk Trail had no overhead in it. Didn't have to pay any money, nothing. But the food drive would host it there in the parking lot, and then they'd allow the church members to hand out tracts to everybody that came for the food drive. And as a result of that food drive, they'd leave all the leftovers at Sauk Trail. And Sauk Trail church members, knowing that we were tighter, would set aside groceries and bulk groceries for us. And when we'd visit once a month, or at the time it was every Sunday morning, we'd be driving down there because we didn't have Sunday morning services yet. They'd give us a whole bundle of food that was just about at the expiration date. But man, we'll eat it before it expires, I'll tell you that. It was just about at the expiration date they had that. We had many churches, many people we knew that just showered us with gift cards in the mail. We had all sorts of things. And I want to get to a couple specific stories that is how God just really blew it out of the water and how he provided. We wanted something as simple as bunk beds for our boys. They were getting too big for their little cribs that we converted into beds. And let me get myself for a second. Lady put up bunk beds in the Buy Nothing. We had no mattresses for them, but she put up bunk beds with no mattresses. It's just a metal frame. You got to put it together yourself. So I went over with my father-in-law, and we shoved those little metal rods and everything into our little car as best as we could and drove it back home. The Lord provided us with a free bunk bed. So then we were like, how are we going to deal? You know, we're going to have to buy the mattresses. I don't know where we're going to find them. You don't want to do used mattresses because it's gross. but we didn't know what we were going to do. And so one of our couples that we've been witnessing to, Ann and Dave, the Catholics I talked about this morning, Ann said, you guys got a bunk bed off of the Buy Nothing, didn't you? We were like, yeah. She goes, do you need mattresses? And I said, and obviously Aaliyah's talking to her, and she said, well, yeah, we're looking at mattresses. She goes, give me a minute. So we didn't know what that meant, and it was like a day or two, and she said, all right, meet us at this address. So little backstory on Dave is he is part of a shipping company that is a last-mile warehouse for Amazon at times, and they do a bunch of other logistical stuff like that. But they were writing off an entire warehouse that was chock full with mattresses. Man, I'm trying. Sheets, pillows, pillowcases, towels. And they literally said, go shopping. Pick whatever you want. They helped us stuff it into the Honda Pilot that we had that we brought from here. And the whole thing was chock full. We couldn't fit anything else in there. They just kept shoving it in. She said, no, you need new towels. You need new pillows. You need a new comforter set. We totaled it together when we got home. And it was over $3,000 worth of bedding. As simple as that. Man, I didn't think I was going to cry, but it overwhelms me to see how God supported. He gave us all that. And of course, throughout this whole time, the Lord supplied us with friends, great friends, that came and visited us and were able to be a support checks. We had many visits. We talked this morning about praying over your faith promise, and here it was in action. I want you to know, church, that during that time was when Pastor Foster contacted me and said that you all supported us, started supporting us. Your faith promise in action was a sigh of relief. When I had $200 left to my name, and I got that support check. And it wasn't to the church, it was to us. I'm so thankful for the mentality of Pastor Foster this morning of saying that they're building the man, not just the ministry, but the man, because we needed it. Desperately, we needed it. And a lot of times, as men, as Baptists, we like to say, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just keep going. But we were in need. And the Lord knew. And during that time, you know, you see all these missionaries and church planters, and all of us church planters and missionaries, we know that God provides. We have stories like this that are fun that we get to tell about God providing in some crazy ways. But God provides, and it's a help from reminder to everybody here that He does provide. And when you're faithful to your faith promise, and we get those checks, I promise it means so much more than a dollar amount. It does. In our first year, I'm going to brag on you a little bit. In our first year, your church visited us in Chicago more than any other church that supports us. Can't explain it. But your church visited us more than anybody. The Woodcocks came often to visit his dad. And they'd swing up on Wednesday nights, and they'd be there for Sundays whenever they could. They even came with us to Sauk Trail when we were still going there on Sunday mornings. The Schroeders came and visited us and stayed over the weekend, got to watch some fireworks with us, go to a church in the area with us, and we had a good time with them. Melissa gets to come and visit us every once in a while when she gets to visit her grandmother. And Tyler came within that first little bit and got to visit with Aaliyah. And that was such a shot in the arm to my wife. Your faith promise is so important because you never know how much that missionary or church planter needs it. You don't. And I know at times it's hard to keep up with, but at this time I'm going to take the message and I'm going to brag on my mama a little bit. You all know in general, because when we were here, that my mom and dad went through a very tough time, very, very hard time when my dad got sick. He could no longer provide for the family, and that was hard for my mom because she had to take up the full-time provider position for our family. It's just what she had to do, and she knew that. And so she increased her cleaning by a lot. And she was wearing herself down, and she got to the point to where at that point, my dad didn't even have cognition at times. He just was so out of it that he couldn't even think straight. So my mom was dealing with the finances, with providing and everything, and she got to a time where she had $1,200 worth of bills to pay. She had $900 in the bank account, and she knew that Sunday she had to pay tithe and missions, and it was about $700. So she knew if she put that check in the plate, she would not be paying bills, and she didn't know what was going to happen. And we weren't in a position where we could have helped. It was where we were at. We had just started, and many of the things I just shared with you were happening as this was happening with my mom. So she prayed over it, and she prayed hard, and she told me how difficult of a decision it was. And she said, I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's hard when there's only $900 in the account, and you got $1,200 in bills coming up. So she made the decision. She wrote the check to the church and paid her tithe and missions. So a lady comes around and decided to drop $200 in my mom's mailbox. My mom said, yes, I can pay the first bill that's the most urgent. I can do that. I can get that done. She did that, and then the next day she goes into work for the lady that she cleans for and just said, I don't know what it was. I just felt like paying you double this week. She was able to pay another bill. And then another church member stopped by and dropped $1,000 in their mailbox. They had no idea what was going on with my mom. They really didn't. They knew it was tough because of my dad, but they didn't know the financial situation. And my mama said, she says to me all the time, I know that was God showing me that faith promise works. And if we're faithful to God, He's faithful right back. And I want you to know, church, that in that time where it was a struggle and it was hard and we needed to pay bills, it was as if whenever I opened those envelopes, that was the support check, I felt the hand of every person that placed their faith promise into the plate. It's as if I felt those hands on my back saying, keep going. Keep going. You know, sometimes we know these truths, but sometimes we forget them. In so many ways, I could go on and on and on about how God has supplied for us over the time that we were there. Just the funniest little thing. Again, the grill. It's just something I wanted, wished I could get, but couldn't have, and the Lord provided for that. And the Lord provided time and time with meat over and over again, and to keep these boys growing, as crazy as they are. And we know missions works because God authored it. If you haven't made your commitment yet, pray what God would have you to give. And I promise you, if you want to increase it, Pastor won't get mad. He won't. It'll help expand the missions budget. But God supplies every single need for you, for me, for every missionary. Sometimes he uses faith promise to supply that need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these people and for the blessing they've been to me. And Lord, it's been such a ride. It's been such an amazing and incredible thing to see you work in Wheeling. And Lord, it's so exciting. And though it can get tough, Lord, I am just thrilled at what you're doing in Wheeling. And I am so excited and so pumped up for what you have around the corner, Lord. Lord, tonight I pray for all these people here. And I pray for your people as they seek to do faith promise missions, to give to that, Lord, and to supply that need. Lord, I pray that they would understand that it practically works. It does. It's made a huge difference in the life of my family, Lord, and it makes a difference in the life of every family. And whether we know it or not, Lord, every penny that we put into that plate gets used to further your gospel and to bless your people that you have in the place where you've placed them, Lord, in these missions fields. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, I just pray that you'd help my stammering lips and that you'd bless these people tonight for their faithfulness to you, Lord, and that you'd also convict us to do more as much as we possibly can for you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.